All right, we are in a series. Anybody know what it's called? Jonah. How many of you were here last week when I called it Noah? I did it in every service. They're both fish stories. Come on, kinda. All right. Listen, and if this mic cuts out anymore, I'm going to throw it. But anyway, all right, I'm back. Hey, listen, here's the truth, though. We are talking about Jonah right now in this series. Last week, we kind of hit the main topics of the first chapter and really talked through it. And remember, I love this book. This is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Why? Because it's short. Can read it fast. You said, yeah, I read a whole book in the Bible today. Praise God. Yeah, it's only 48 verses. You know what I mean? But hey, the truth of the matter is it is a great, great book. Has a lot of great things in it. It's all filled with the grace of God. And now listen, how many of you like movies? I like movies? How many of you like comeback movies? What is the greatest comeback movie of all time? Come on, Rocky. Rocky. Come on, anybody else? Rocky. I heard somebody last night, they said Bad News Bears. Bad News Bears, anybody, all right, anybody like Bad News Bears? How about here's one for you. How about A Knight's Tale? Anybody like that one? I like A Knight's Tale. What, the dude died in it. Who's the guy? Heath Ledger, died in a car wreck. No, committed suicide. I can't keep all them crazy people straight. But anyway, truth is, he's not here anymore. But it's a great movie. I like certain movies, and I like for movies to end well. I like for movies to end right. Matter of fact, I get annoyed when movies don't end right. I love comeback movies. If I had to pick a certain genre of movie, I would watch comeback movies because I just love comeback movies. I love rooting for the underdog. Like this last week, anybody watch Street Outlaws? Come on, Big Chief beat Rollins. Yeah, it was great. Money didn't win. Fast cars. Well, okay, anyway, I'm back. I love comebacks. I love rooting for the underdog. Movies that end wrong. Have you ever seen The Pursuit of Happiness? That's The Pursuit of Misery. That whole movie. And let me tell you why. I understand the principle. You know, you got 2 hours of this guy going through all this stuff. And then at the very end, the way it ends is after this guy's been through all this stuff, then they end the movie with a rolling screen you have to read. You have to read to find out this guy made it somewhere in life. Okay, I don't know if you go to the movies to work, but I don't. Okay, I don't go to movies to read. I go to be entertained. And I don't want to read. That's why I'm at the movies. Come on, anybody with me? Right? I can watch Chinese movies and get subtitles, praise God. All right? I want movies just to entertain me. So I get annoyed at movies that end right, you know, Pursuit of Happiness being one of them. And I understand a lot of people love the movie, but, you know, as for this critic, it was a thumbs down. Why? Because I had to read at the end. I would have much rather watched a movie where he was on a yacht, you know, sipping on some sweet tea, smiling and waving at everybody, you know, rolling money. Okay, so anyway, it's just me. I like movies that end right. Well, can I tell you the book of Jonah ends right? The book of Jonah ends right. We're not going to end it today. We're going to end it next week, but we are at midstream. Now, remember what I taught you last week. A couple more really important details about the book of Jonah. Number one, sin. Sin. It says, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to what? Pay. We talked about that last week. How many of you have ever gone through something in life? Raise your hand. How many of you think you'll go through something before the end of your life? All right. How many of you are going through something right now? Okay, let me say it this way. Some of you ain't going to participate no matter what I do. So let me say it this way. Here's the reality. At some point in your life, you're going to go through something. You're going to go through something. Now, we know the story of Jonah up to this point. Jonah's problems are self-inflicted. Yeah. Right? Self-inflicted. Now, I will tell you, not every problem in your life is self-inflicted. Sometimes it's things you inherit. Sometimes it's things you got to go through. Sometimes it's just the way things are. But here's the truth. My goal for you today is, what do you do when you're in a problem? What do you do when you're facing a problem? What do you do when there's nothing you know you can do? What do you do? What do you do? See, that's what I want to talk to you today about, because it's important that you know what to do when you don't know what to do. It's important that you do what you're supposed to do when you don't know what to do, praise God. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? No, I'm going to get you there here in just a second. Because the reality is, the Bible has plenty to say about situations where, when you don't know what to do, what you should do. Now, I believe right now, Jonah is a comeback story, man. Jonah is a comeback man. He is the dude, he is the underdog now. He is in the belly of the whale. And now, he's about to make a comeback. So let's find out how he makes that comeback. Now, get this. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17 is where I left off last week. It said this. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And remember, last week I told you that the great fish swallowing Jonah was not God paying Jonah back. It was actually God's provision for Jonah. It was God taking care of Jonah. I mean, even though he could have drowned, but God allowed a fish to swallow him, right? It wasn't payback. God wasn't trying to pay Jonah back. How many of you know God has better things to do than worry about paying you back? I mean, seriously, guys, some people think God's paying people back. No, God isn't paying people back. How many of you know he's trying to bring Jonah back, though? How many of you know there's a difference between bringing someone back and paying them back? Jonah is in a position and God is trying to bring him back around. Now, in light of that, I want you to know this about your Bible. In your Bible, the chapters and verses are not inspired by God. Let me say it this way. Whenever the book of Jonah was written, it wasn't chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 3, verse 3. It wasn't written like that. It was one book, one story. Men added chapters and verses into the Bible so it was a little bit more readable and we could find our place to where to start reading. Y'all follow me? So in light of that, I want to read the book of Jonah the way it was written, and that way we get the right meaning out of it. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish, come on, 3 days and 3 nights, all right? Here's the next verse. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord. Y'all didn't hear it like I heard it. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, and then Jonah prayed to the Lord. Y'all still ain't getting it like I got it. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Watch. And then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. Yeah, I don't know if y'all hearing it the way I'm saying it. But let me just assure you of this. If I was running from God and I'm at the beach and I see a tail flip, I'm praying. I'm not waiting for 3 days and three nights to pray and ask God about anything going on in the fish. Am I the only one in here that has the wisdom enough to look at that and go, oh no, if Free Willy flips a tail, I'm on it. Jesus, Lord. Oh God, please not. I'll even go Catholic. Afile Espiritu Santo, Lord. No, Jesus' name. Plead the blood of Jesus and get some oil and wipe it down. I ain't going there, man. I ain't going there. Just not doing it. Not doing it. But it shows you the length and the depth of Jonah's rebellion. Think about it. Think about being in a... Now, come on. You know it's dark. It's a whale. You know it stinks. And he's stuck in this thing. And he waits 3 days, three nights, then prays. Seriously. Do you understand the depths of his rebellion? Do you understand how stubborn he is? Do you understand that he is just bound and determined? He's just not going to do what God's called him to do. Now, what do you do in a place like that? This is all self-inflicted, by the way. Jonah is self-inflicted himself, all right? And now listen, what happens, though, is a powerful thing, because get this. In that 3 days and three nights, Jonah's he's rebellious. He just isn't going to do it. Finally, he figures out, you know what? If anything's going to change in this scenario, I need to change. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? If anything's going to change in my world, I've got to change. Can I tell you this? What God is doing through in you is greater than what God's doing through you. What God is doing in you is the major reason he's doing anything in your life. He wants to change you from the inside out for sure. See, here's the truth. He's stuck in the belly of the whale. Now watch the second verse to this. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my what? Afflictions. How many of you know you're going to cry out when you're afflicted? Yeah, self-inflicted for sure with Jonah. Now watch this. Look at the next verse because it's full. Listen, I don't know if you see it, but I want you to see it today. It's full of the grace of God. The next verse is full of the grace of God. Here's what it said. And he answered me. Stop right there. And he did what? And he answered me. Can I tell you? You need to hear that. And he answered me. Listen, Jonah. Is Jonah running from God? Is he rebellious? Yeah. And what does he do? Finally, after 3 days and three nights, he cries out to God. Now, if God was like most people, it'd be like, shoot, 3 days, three nights, you're on your own, pal. Figure it out. Figure out how to get out of the belly of the whale. Start cutting. Better have a fillet knife. Oh, come on, that's supposed to be funny. How many of you know, here he is in the midst of this belly of this whale, and God's trying to do a work on the inside of his heart. And the next thing you know, Jonah's like, I might as well cry out to God. And listen, and he says this, I cried out to the Lord and the Lord answered. Now, if it wasn't a big deal, he would have never said it this way. And he answered me. Well, we know God wants to answer our prayers, right? Yeah, what if it's self-inflicted and you're running from God? Will God still answer your prayer? See, most people think like religion thinks. Religion tells you when you're messing up, God runs from you. Well, bless God, you should have it all together. I love what Albert Einstein said. He said this, problems that are created at a level cannot be solved at the same level, right? Can I give it to you, Charlie Riley Amplified? It's much clearer. The knucklehead that got in the mess can't get himself out of the mess. How many of you know if you put yourself into a place, it's hard for you to get yourself out of a place? You need someone of greater and higher authority to get you out than the one who put you in. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? In other words, here's the deal. We get into a place, and we get into a place where we're either running from God or we're having problems, or whether it's self-inflicted or someone put us in that place. We're in that place. We're in a hard place. We're in a place where we're feeling afflicted. And the issue is oftentimes we feel like we run from God. It's like, man, I don't want nothing to do with God. I don't want anything to do with that. Why? Because, man, I'm just not doing it right. I'm not doing it the way I'm supposed to. I know I'm not doing it right. And in our minds, we think that God is running from us when really the opposite is true. God isn't running from you in the midst of your problems. God is running to you. It reminds me when I was a little kid. I lived in southern Louisiana, lived in a trailer park at one time. And in this trailer park, we had a gravel road right down through the trailer park, and it went around the back. Anyway, long story short of it is, my sister and I, we were riding, and we only had one bike, and my mom said before we left, she goes, don't you guys be double riding. Come on, anybody ever double ride? Come on, if you grew up like I did, you double ride all the time, right? It's better than walking. So we get just around the corner from the trailer, and I said, Melinda, jump on. So Melinda jumps on the handlebars. We're on a gravel road. Y'all can see where this is headed. We jumped on the bike, and I start pedaling, and we're going. All of a sudden, the front wheel starts getting sideways. Y'all know what I'm saying? Next thing you know, there's a song about it. You want to hear it? Another one bites the dust. Bam, and another one down, and another one down. We both scraped ourselves up, picked ourselves up off the ground. We're walking back to the trailer. Now, what do you think my mom did? Do you think my mom looked at us down the road and goes, oh, yeah, y'all are on your own, and walked off? What did my mom do? She started walking to us. And there was no need to say anything. Come on, moms. Moms, amen. Come on, sometimes you ain't got to say nothing. The proof is in the pudding, y'all. All right, it's right there. And I remember thinking, boy, this was dumb. She told us the last words out of her mouth was, don't do that. Well, guess what we did? We did exactly that. That's just the way it went down. And now listen, I'm so thankful that my mom didn't run from me, she ran to me. And listen, how many of you know God is even greater than our moms? Listen, and God is not running from you in your affliction, he's running to you. He has a heart of grace, he has a heart of mercy, he has a heart to want to bring you and allow you to do the right thing. So don't think that just because you maybe mess up or you have a problem that you can run from God and it's going to get better. The truth of the matter is, you running to God is going to help you out a whole lot more. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? It's amazing too, as a pastor, I deal with this all the time, especially when it comes to religion and religious people. For example, someone will make a knuckleheaded decision. Like, let's say they have premarital sex and somebody gets pregnant, all right? They'll call me and they'll say, Pastor Charlie, I'm pregnant. I'll say, all right, that's all right. You know, God can still move through this. God's all right. You know, Gabriel isn't like, oh no, what do we do? You know? God can still minister to you through this. He'll get you through it. Well, should I get married? I think I should get married. I think I should marry him. I'm like, how long have you known him? A week? No! No! Okay, listen, you made a dumb decision. You're going to complicate it? You know what I mean? Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm being real. Don't jump from the frying pan into the fire, y'all. Y'all hear what I'm saying? But see, that's how we think. We think, watch, instead of just saying, okay, God, I need you, we'll say, oh, I'm going to fix this, and then God will help me. No. Your best bet is if you're in a place where you don't know what to do, it's to back up, stop, and let God work. Let God work. Quit messing with it. Quit touching it. Leave it alone. Let God heal you. Let God heal it. Let God heal the situation. Let God bring you out of it. Because you messing with it isn't doing anything but making it worse. Come on, am I talking to anybody in here? I'm telling you, man, this is the way it is. See, the truth of the matter is Jonah needed to change. And let me just tell you, I believe there are three major changes that happened in Jonah's life. Here they are. When I say his life, I'm talking about while he was in the belly of the whale. So get this, here's the number one thing. His prayer changed. His prayer changed. Did y'all see the prayer that we just read? The part of the prayer? You know, look at it. I want you to see this. Jonah, it says, look, it says, and I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. It says, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and he heard me. If you go and keep reading, the next verse is, you know, that I was in the belly of the whale, and it says that the grass has surrounded me, and things are weighing me down, and things are beating me down, and it's all, honestly, it's all me, I. I'm an issue. I got problems. I got issues. I got this. I got that. And let me just say this. At some point, though, Jonah's prayer completely changes. And it's towards the latter part. Let me just show it to you this way. It says that, I skipped to it. Look at this. He said this, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Notice this, his prayer, this is at the end of the prayer, and we're going to look at that here in a minute again. But listen, I want you to understand that at the beginning of his prayer time, it's all about him. It's all self-absorbed. But listen, by the end, he's like, I can't worry about my problem. I got to get my eyes on the fixer of my problem. I've got to get my eyes on Christ and on God himself so he can help me. Why is this so important? Let me show you this. Check this out. Whenever it comes to God changing your prayer, there's something you have to know about the way the enemy wants you to see it, and there's something you have to know about the way God wants you to see it. So get this. When it comes to your prayer life, listen to what the psalmist David said. He said, I lift up my eyes to the hills from where my what? Help comes from. Can I tell you the reason that Jonah made it such a big deal is I called out to the Lord and he answered me. Can I tell you why that is such a hard concept for some people to grab? The reason is because oftentimes when we fail God, whether it's self-inflicted or not, we actually feel shamed by it. We feel like we actually hold our heads down. It reminds me of, anybody got dogs? Anybody got dogs? Let me pray for all of us, praise God. We got dogs, and it's amazing. We can come to the house, And every day the dogs greet us, every day. Same demeanor, same attitude, happy, tails flopping, it's all good, right? We come home and they've got into something. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? How many of you know it's different? You open the door and it's like, where are the dogs? Right? You look over towards the kitchen and you see trash everywhere. Or sometimes like us, a bread wrapper. You know, or Michael's Subway that he left on the counter. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? And it's like, where are the dogs? And you walk around the corner and Lilo and Buster's. So walk through, Lilo, Buster, here they come. Oh, they know what's up, right? Come on, y'all know what I'm saying? They know exactly what's up. They know they're in trouble. They can tell by the demeanor of our voice, and they know the mess that they made. Don't tell me they're not dumb, or they're not that dumb. They know what's going on. They know they're a mess, okay? So I believe that sometimes we act that way with God. I believe sometimes when we fail and we don't measure up, we come to God like, oh, just so timid and bashful and all that. And you say, why is that? Because I personally believe whenever Jonah missed God, he felt condemned. He felt ashamed. Matter of fact, let me say it this way. The enemy loves for men and women to be in a place of shame, fear, and condemnation. Shame, fear, and condemnation. Shame, fear, and condemnation. The enemy uses those. Those are three great tools he can use on you each and every day of your life. Shame. He'll shame you. You messed up. Oh, look at you're second class. You know, those people, they really love God. You don't really love God. You still say those words, or you still do that, or you still thought that. You're not really saved. You don't really love God. He shames you. Not only does he shame you, he puts fear in you. Puts fear in you. He wants you to be fearful. He condemns you. Condemns you. Makes you feel condemned, like you're less than. Always beating you down. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? He loves that. That's his number one tool to make you feel shame, make you feel condemned, make you feel fearful. If he's got those things in you, he knows this. Get this. You can't operate in fear and faith at the same time. Hear me. Hebrews 11:6. Anyone who comes to God must believe he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Everybody say rewarder. He's a rewarder. He desires to reward you. Yes, he does. That's what faith is. All right? Now, everybody listen to this. How can you feel all timid and ashamed like you just got caught and be beat down and yet believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Come on, how many of you know those two can't coexist together? One's going to win out over the other, right? And listen, I'm here to tell you that fear, shame, and condemnation are enemies of your faith. You can't believe God for big things and believe God's going to work in your life and believe that and yet walk in shame, walk in fear, walk in condemnation. Why? It will absolutely rob you of your faith. Rob you of your faith. You can't see God doing anything in your life if you live with those things, shame, fear, and condemnation. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. One will beat out the other. So listen to this. I believe this is common to man's experience on the planet. Matter of fact, it started way back with Adam and Eve. Think about it. This is Adam and Eve. This is after the fall. Genesis 3:8. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. Now listen to this, everybody. This is after the fall. They've already ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now they're in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. Do you guys find that funny? What did they hide themselves with? Fig leaves. Fig leaves, y'all. Fig leaves. Fig leaves. First camo right there. First camo. Camo right there. It's Bible to wear camo. But anyway, I just can't even imagine this. This cracks me up. Because to me, it's a trip. It's a trip. It's like they're hiding from God with fig leaves. I imagine the woman, I bet Eve looked at him and goes, hey, what do you think? And he goes, I can't even see you. Are you there? I mean, how did that go? Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? I just read the Bible and it cracks me up sometimes because I'm like, I bet she looked at him and goes, yeah, I can't even see you either. It cracks me up. They're hiding from God with fig leaves. I think God looks down sometimes and he goes, you little dum-dums. Does anybody else feel that sometimes? I do. I feel like he's like, oh, the little dum-dums are at it again. There they go. It just cracks me up, man. Cracks me up. I mean, think about it. How many of you ever played hide-and-go-seek with your kids? Okay, how many of you figured out with your kids that as long as their face is hid, they're hid? Y'all hear what I'm saying? When I played hide-and-go-seek with my kids, it was like this. It's like, I mean, their butt's sticking out behind the couch, you know, but they can't see their face, so they're hid. I think that's what I imagine this being. This is the first game of hide-and-go-seek right here. I am. It says, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord and from among the trees in the garden. Watch this. And then the Lord God called Adam and he said to him, where are you? Can I tell you? Can I tell you, God, it isn't like God doesn't know where they're at, y'all. It's like, Adam, hey, no, dum-dum. It's like you asking your kids when it's quiet in the other room, what are y'all doing? It's not that you don't think something's up. You know something's up. That's exactly what's going on here. Look at this, and he goes on. So he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. It's a good thing I'm not God. I'd have been like, with fig leaves? That's how you hid. That's the best you got? Come on. But it cracks me up because here's what happened. I heard the voice in the garden and I was afraid. You know what he was afraid? Yeah, I believe this is spiritual and physical. I believe what he did on the outside was really a true representation of what he was experiencing on the inside. He was fearful on the inside. He was afraid. He was ashamed. That's why he hid himself. He was trying to hide because he was ashamed. He was ashamed. And can I tell you, I believe man's been hiding from God ever since. Yeah. Now, I want to point one thing out to you. You ready for this? You want to know the true heart of God? The true heart of God. If you hear nothing else I say this morning, I don't know why you wouldn't. But if you don't hear anything else, hear this, praise God. Hear this. The heart of God is not to run from us when we have problems and when we fail and we don't measure up. The heart of God is to run to us when we fail and don't measure up. See, we have this religious idea that God just abandons us. And that's exactly what Jonah thought. And that's why he was shocked when he said, I cried out to the Lord and lo and behold, he answered me. He was shocked by it. Couldn't believe. After all that I've done and after all I've abandoned God with, I'm here to tell you, God still answered me. I'm telling you, God is a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. God is willing to be patient with us and long-suffering towards us as long as we'll walk this thing out with him. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? I think about it. Yeah, amen. I think about it in light of Peter and Judas. How many of you know Peter betrayed Jesus? How many of you know Judas betrayed Jesus? How many of you know Judas got paid for it? Bad joke. Judas got paid for it. Peter didn't. God restored Peter, gave him a second chance. He preached on, first preacher to preach an evangelistic meeting. 3,000 people got saved under a man who blew it. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Don't tell me God can't give second chances, right? Judas, shame, fear, condemnation, beat him. And he killed himself. Isn't that a tragic thing? Could God have restored Judas the same way? Come on, it would have been the heart of God to restore him. I believe that with all my heart. But Judas beat Judas. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Man, I hope that's ministering to you. See, here's the truth. The truth is, we know this. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. How many of you know you're going to miss it? You and I, we're all going to miss it. We don't always measure up. We're not always perfect. We don't do it all right every time. But I'm here to tell you, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Why? Jesus came and died for us in the midst of our issue while we were failing. And he still decided to die for us. And so that now, whenever we have a relationship with God, there is no condemnation. If we miss it, we say, Father, I don't want to do that again. Please keep me from messing up like that again. But Lord, I thank you that you didn't abandon me when I messed up. Matter of fact, you're right here in the midst of my mess up, helping me fix it up in Jesus' name. Come on, amen? Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Here's what I believe. You ready? Don't let your setbacks set you back. Let it be a setup for a comeback. I worked all week on that. You better say amen or something like that. That's really good, praise God. Way good. All right. But here's the truth. Don't let your setback set you back. Don't let your mess up mess you up. Don't let it. Okay, you missed it. You failed. Okay, problem. All right, got it. Move on, praise God. That's what Jonah needed to realize. Time to move on, bless God. You missed it. You didn't do it right. Okay, got it. Come on, anybody hear what I'm saying? That's why I love the Apostle Paul. He said, leaving those things which are behind, I press forward. I press forward. That's right. See, second thing that I believe Jonah changed is this right here. You ready? He changed his perspective on the whole thing. Check this out. Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. This is the latter part of that prayer. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Look at this. He said, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Last part says this. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will sacrifice to you. The word sacrifice there is in there on purpose. Guess what sacrifice means in the Hebrew? Sacrifice. Guess what it means in the Greek? Boy, you guys are quick. Way better than first service. But anyway, I'm just kidding. Hey, here's the truth. It's a sacrifice. Do you think that Jonah wanted to begin to, and what it's talking about is he began to praise God in the midst of the belly of that fish. Matter of fact, I got it to you in the Living Bible. It says this, I will never worship anything but you. And for you, I thank you for all that you have done. I thank you for what? All that you've done. I thank you for what? All that you've done. You know what he begins to do right in the midst of the belly of that well? He changes his perspective. How? Through praise and worship. He begins to worship and praise God. And as he begins to worship and praise God, everything around him changes. Everything around him changes. I love the idea that Paul and Silas, the Bible says in the book of Acts, they were men who were imprisoned at midnight. And the Bible says that they begin to sing out praises to God, chained. They were chained in a room at midnight. They were chained. Men and women who will sing in their prison at midnight are men and women who cannot be chained by their prison. They can't be in chains. They can't be. Matter of fact, the Bible says the building shook, that the whole thing broke loose, and they were loose, praise God. Why? Because praise and worship has the power to loose you even when you can't loose yourself. Why? When you begin to praise and worship God in the midst of anything that you're going through, it has power over the situation. I like to say it like this. Let your praise become a problem for your problem. I worked on that one too. Let your praise become a problem for your problem. I mean, you know, I grew up like this. Sick your praise on it. See, if you're sick in your body, what should you begin to do? Come on, you got to praise and worship God. You got to. You got to. What do you sing? Well, don't sing the Death Is Me song. Praise God. What do you begin to sing? He healed my body. He touched my mind. Anybody remember that song? He saved me just in time. Ooh, I'm on the praise his name. Anybody know that one? Yeah. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm going to praise his name, right? Why? Because that praise becomes a problem for your problem. Every time you praise and you worship God, watch this. You make God bigger than your problem. You make God bigger than your problem. God wants to be bigger than your problem. He wants to rule out your problem. He wants to run it out of your life. But if so many people, they make their problem their God and their God their servant to their problem. Well, just pray for me, Pastor. Why? Well, you know, it might take me out. I said, no, the devil is a liar. And so are you. I don't say that part. I say, no, it won't. It's not going to. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's your money. You know? It's like, what should I pray? Well, do you know that the Bible says God will prosper his people? Begin to worship and praise God for your prosperity. Worshiping God, worship God about it. Man, I thank you, Lord. You are my provider. You're Jehovah Jireh. You might know that song. I know all them songs, man. I sing them too, and I'm good. Good. Oh no, I know. I'm not going on tour. Don't get me wrong. But it works. It works. It shakes my problems loose. But I know what I'm saying? Absolutely. See, you got to understand that praise and worship has power to change everything that you're going through. That's exactly what Jonah began to do. He began to praise in the midst of his problem. And his praise became a problem for his problem. And I just love that. Listen to this. This is Psalms 43:5. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Now, this is the psalmist David, and he's talking to himself. Anybody talk to yourself? Hey, listen, this is the end thing now. Get you a Bluetooth, put it in your ear. You ain't even got a cell phone. You ain't even got to have a cell phone. Just get you one. I see people doing it all the time. They're walking around with those things in their ears, and they're just talking to themselves. Listen, you can walk around praying tongues. Hey, do whatever you want. People don't know no difference. They think you're talking a foreign language. You might end up on the no-fly list, but, you know, it's one way you can pray. You know? You ever thought about that? See, I think about that stuff all the time. I see people with those Bluetooth things at the store, and I'm like, oh, they're probably not even talking to nobody. They're just talking to themselves, praise God. See, that's why it's hard to identify crazy people anymore. It's like, I wonder who they're talking to. You ever want to take it from them and say, plug it in your ear? Hi. Okay, maybe I'm the only one. I'm the only one. And what would be funnier is if you got one, give it to somebody else. Hold on just a second. Give it to them. Here, talk to them. Okay, I'm done. Oh, my soul, watch this. Why are you disquainted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet what? I will praise him. I will praise him. Notice this. It goes on to say, the help of my countenance and my God. The help of my countenance. Best thing you can ever do for yourself is praise and worship God. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, instead of saying, woe is me, instead of making your problem bigger than it is, why don't you just worship and praise God? Your worship will consume your worry. Your worship will consume, that's a good one, good one. Your worship will consume your worry. I promise you. Let me give you one example of this, and I'll move on to my third point. You ready? Check this out. And I've used this story before, so if you've heard it, I'm sorry. It just, still to this day, I can't think of a more powerful explanation of praise and worship than what I'm about to share with you right now. I was in the military, 1997. I was getting September of 1997. I was slotted to get out of the military. All right? Now, Michelle, in July, wanted to come home and find us a place to stay. She moved in with her parents for a few months to find us a place to stay so that whenever I left our base, whenever I came home, we'd have a home. Does that make sense, everybody? So she does. About a month and a half, she's here. She finds a house. I'm in the Air Force down in Fort Walton Beach still at Herbert Field. And I'm there, and she calls me up. She's like, hey, listen, check this out. I found a place. And I'm like, babe, we don't have no money. We do not have any money. And she goes, I know. I don't know what we're going to do. And let me just say this. If you're a dude, you understand this. It's hard enough to be away from your family, but to be away from your family and not be able to provide them with what you think they want, how many of you know it hurts your heart? Man, it just tore me up, and I was just really upset about it because I know she wanted this house, and I knew that I felt in my heart it was the right thing and all this stuff. And it just tore me up on the inside. So all day I had to live with that. And I went back to the dorm room at the end of the day, and I put some headphones on. And I've told this story, but I will tell you again. I put on Kirk Franklin. Anybody remember cassette tapes? I know somebody said 8-track. No, how many of you remember 8-track? I remember 8-track. I remember seeing my first 8-track tape. You want to hear it? 1982 Chevette. Come on, how many of you know those are rare? You know why they're rare? They were junk. All right? My parents had a 1982 Chevette with an 8-track. I remember the 8-track. You know what it was? Don't look at me funny, all right, when I say this. AC/DC, Back in Black. I was a sinner. But and then it would go crazy. And you got fast forward it over the bad spot. Come on, anybody? Come on, you know those 8-track. Okay, so anyway, so check this out. So I got this cassette tape, and I'm listening to it, and I can tell you the name of the tape. It was Kurt Franklin and Family. All right, and the title track is God's Property. That's the first song on side one. The second song is this song that I started listening to, and it's I Know That I Can Make It. I know that I can stand no matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands. Guess what verse two is? I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand no matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands. Guess what verse three is? It's the same thing. It's about 7 minutes of that, man. And it is flat out awesome by the end of it, man. It's rocking. And I would listen to that, man. I put some headphones on. I'm disgruntled on the inside. I'm upset. I want to provide for my family. We're broke. I don't know what to do. I put my headphones on, man. I just started worshiping God. And if you've never been in a place like this, I suggest that you find this place at some point in your life. But I remember listening to that CD or that tape. And as I'm listening to it, I don't know how long I worshiped God. But I had one of those fancy tape decks where you hit rewind and it automatically stopped at the song. I played that song. I bet you I listened to that song 20 times. And I was probably in there maybe an hour, hour and a half, listening to that song over and over and over and over. And let me just say this, over and over and over, singing to yourself, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand no matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands. I know that I can. By the end of, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half, I was like, I know that I can stand. No matter what may come, I'm a devil stomping, just preaching machine, man. I'm on it, man. I'm like, God is good. Praise God. No blood, no blood. And suddenly, I got a total peace about it. A just total peace came upon me. I was like, man, that's good. I laid down, slept that night. Can I tell you, nothing on the outside changed, but everything on the inside of me changed. Let me tell you what happened. Next morning, woke up, go to the shop. I'm sitting there, Michelle calls. It's about 10, 11 o'clock, it's before lunch. She calls me up, she's like, hey, did you put money in the bank account? I'm like, are you crazy? I ain't got no money. She's like, well, we've got money in our account. There's like $1,300 in our account. I said, do not spend that money. Because here's what you learn in the military. If the government giveth, oh, they're going to take it away. And it's going to be when you least need it. Or when you need it the most, praise God. So I'm like, all right. I said, listen, do not spend a dime of that. Let me go down there to payroll and find out what's going on. I drive my little self down there for lunch. I go in there. I'm like, hey, I need to talk to somebody. I'm shipping out in a month and a half, and you guys are not going to take my pay. I want to know what's going on with my paycheck. And they're like, hold on, let us look at it. So they go back in the room. They come back about 15 minutes later. They come in. They go, hey, we're all good. I said, No. I've learned that a long time ago in the military. We're good isn't good enough. I said, okay, we're good isn't good enough. You need to explain to me why there is now like $1,300 in my account. They said, well, here's the deal. You remember last year when you went TDY to Fort Campbell, Kentucky? And I said, yeah. They go, well, we paid you a certain amount. But we were looking at it. We see that you're getting out over the next month and a half. and we wanted to make sure that you were paid before your leave kicked in. So we wanted to make sure that money was in your account so that we don't have to worry about it as you get closer to shipping out. I'm like, really? They're like, yeah, really, that's the deal. So I said this, I said, so you're not going to take it back? You want them to say it, you know what I mean? And they go, no, you're good, it's your money. I said, all right, that's fine. I drove back to the shop, and I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you young people were like, why didn't you call her on a cell phone? They didn't have them back then, y'all. They didn't have cell phones. Yes, I'm that old, all right? Which isn't that old, praise God. Heath? All right, listen, here's the truth. You ready? So I got back to the shop. I called Michelle. I'm like, babe, spend the money. It's all good. Now, here's what I learned in that. I learned in the midst of all that, that God will supply my needs according to his riches and glory. Yeah. Right? And listen, I don't know. I can't tell you for sure. I really can't. I can't tell you if God already, it would have been in there had I not worshiped at all that night. It may have. I can't guarantee that it wouldn't have. But I can assure you of this. In my world, the way I see it, that when I worshiped that night, it broke something loose. And after I worshiped God, the next morning, how can you explain that? How can you explain something like that? You can't. And that's why people that say, well, I just don't believe there's a God. I'm like, phew, hang around with me. I do dumb stuff all the time, and God's always getting me out of it. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? Man, God is so good. And whenever, man, I'm telling you, it changed on the inside of me. It exploded on the inside of me. And that's when I really got a true revelation and understanding of how powerful praise and worship can be in your life. And I'm just encouraging you today. If you're going through something, your tendency is not to praise God. Your tendency is not to worship God. And I'm here to tell you that the thing that you need more than anything is to worship him in the midst of that storm. Worship him in the midst of it, and I promise you, he will turn that thing around in your life. Come on, amen? I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. Absolutely. Praise will always change your perspective. It always does. You can go, I don't know about you, but I can go into something and I can be all worried and fearful and doubting it and all that. I begin to worship God. Next thing you know, guess what? By the end of it, I'm like, man, God's good. He's going to take care of this just like he took care of all that. Praise God. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? All right, here's the last one, and I'm almost done right here. The path. Listen to Jonah. It says this, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah come on, everybody say second chance. How many of you know our God is a God of second chances? How many of you know our God is a God of third chances, fourth chances? Listen, no matter how many times you missed it, God is a God of second chances. I know we think that he isn't, but he is. He is. See, here's the truth. You ready? Don't allow your detour to destroy your destiny. How many of you like Siri? How many of you like Siri on your phone? Like Siri? I like Siri sometimes. Use her to go someplace, you know, for directions. Y'all know what I'm saying? Turn Siri on. She tells you how to get there. Isn't it amazing, though? Sometimes Siri will send you in the wrong direction. Anybody ever experienced that? All right. How many of you shut Siri off before? I shut Siri off quick, really. If Siri's telling me to go a direction I don't want to go, I shut her off because Michelle will join with Siri because they're women. Join together and tell me where to go. Come on, it's a joke. How many dudes hear my heart? Some of you are too scared. You don't want to be a man with us. All right, that's what I find. Forget you guys. But here's the truth. You ready? And it's just a joke. It really is. But sometimes I'll shut Siri off. And there have been times where I'll shut Siri off, and I'll be like, I don't need Siri. I know exactly where I'm going. And I'll drive, and we'll go somewhere. Next thing you know, guess what I'm doing? I'm turning Siri back on. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? Isn't it good that Siri isn't like most of us? See, if you shut me off, and I'm trying to help you get somewhere, I'll be like, you turned me back on? I'll be like, oh, hey, dum-dum. Oh, you're back? You want directions from me now? Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? How many of you know Siri responds, and when Siri responds, there's no condemnation in it. It's like, go straight. Make a U-turn. Come on, there's no attitude. I've said this forever, and I just found out today it's true. I've said this forever. I think Siri should be British because I think that voice is sexy. Right? It's like, hello, sir. Oh, that's sexy. What's up, Siri? How you doing? Well, then someone after first service said, well, Pastor Charlie, you know that Siri can be British. How many of you know that? Michelle's been hiding it. And hiding it from me. Man, had I known that, I'd just sat around with Siri. Hey, Siri, what's up, Siri? Been like that show. All right, anyway. You know that one show where the guy's his girlfriend's his phone? That's weird. That's weird. That's weird. All right, but listen to the truth. The truth is, Siri, when she comes back and she starts giving you directions, there's no condemnation. Can I tell you, your God is the same exact way. When you tune back in, he's not like, well, you dumb, what were you thinking? No, it's like, no, just go straight. He gives you a second chance, and when he gives you a second chance, there's no condemnation in it. There's no beating you down with it. It's not like, boy, that was stupid. It's nothing like that. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. God is not condemning you by you making mistakes. See, here's the truth. You ready? Look at this. When we focus on our history, it's at the expense of our destiny. Maybe you've been here today and you're hearing what I'm saying about second chances. You're hearing what I'm saying about it. And you're like, yeah, but I did this, I did that. Listen, you're missing my point. If you're more concentrated on what you did in the past than you are what God can do in the future, you're missing my point. The point is, your past is just that. It's in the past. It doesn't matter. Learn from it, but allow God to give you a second chance in this life so you can experience everything that God has for you. Come on, amen. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I'm going to stop right here. Don't allow your detour to destroy your destiny. Come on, amen. Give the Lord a big clap. I'm done.